prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kath, for bringing that to us. Bless you. So, yes, I'm pastor at Clanoway Community Church. So this morning I was approaching the A55 and had to remember to turn right. I remember just at the last minute. I'd prepared in many other ways, but normally turn left on the A55 to go towards Chester, and had to turn right this morning, this Sunday morning. My wife normally turns right, I normally turn left, so we place ourselves in Rosenshall between this end of the country where she works and the eastern bit where I am based. So, yeah, Magnus has got the dates when I'm going to be, thank you for holding those for us, Magnus. So do speak to Magnus. It's normally going to be Wednesday morning that I'll be around, sort of between 10 and 1, but do just check if you could please work with Magnus, or drop me an email and I'll respond to, be delighted to meet with you and chat with you and support you in any way that I can. I consider it a great privilege, a great an honour really to be here in Bangor, in the capital of North Wales. So just to be able to help and serve in whatever way I can in this capacity as a moderator in the interim. So it's great to be here. I do hope I can be of service to you under God. Now, dwi'n dysgu Cymraeg, ond dwi ddim yn siarad yn dda o hyn o bryd, sorry. Dwi'n gobeithio siarad wella, achos mi fydd i mynd i sgwrs haf yn Prifysgol yn Mangor. I'm not really sure what you heard. What I meant to say was that I'm trying to learn Welsh. And I'm actually going to be doing a little summer course in Bangor University for a couple of weeks, end of June, beginning of July. I blame Peter for his inspiration in this particular venture. We'll see how that goes. Peter Cousins, of course. Also hoping to do a little bit of windsurfing on the Menai Straits this summer, so that might bring me over this way too. We'll see how that goes. It's one of those things where you're not as young as you used to be, but we'll give it a go again, why not? Anyway, and the church, yeah, entering a new season, seeking, looking for the person that God is going to be calling up to take the role of minister here in the church, lead the church into this next phase of life. And I'm excited to hear of the things that have happened under Freddie's ministry by the grace of God amongst you here. And we do continue to pray for Freddie and Cecilia and the family as Freddie is inducted at Tenterden in Kent. So our prayers are very much with them. And I hope that these verses in Ephesians 4 bring you some inspiration and some hope, both individually and as a church today. Not only as you think about calling your next minister, but you'll notice that nowhere in this passage did it say that these are the gifts that are given to ministers. These are the gifts that are given to the church. And we're going to be having a think about that today. What is God calling you to today? What gifts, skills, talents, abilities and passions has he placed on your heart to serve him, to serve the church, and to reach out to those who don't know Jesus with the wonderful saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I do believe that this is a word for the church at this time. I was thinking about what to preach about. I'd been reading this book by Alan Hirsch, which I commend to you, 5Q. And I thought, that might be, maybe that's the thing that God's placed in my heart to share with you this morning. And then I just checked what else was on the preaching rota, that it would sort of wouldn't be too repetitive, and found that you'd just had the previous verses preached on only 2 weeks ago. So that kind of felt like a bit of a confirmation. I think maybe God wants to say something to us through this. And if we could have our first slide, please. Thank you. Because 2 weeks ago, I listened to the message on the internet. You heard that we're built on a foundation of unity, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, and a unity of purpose through the Holy Spirit in one body under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you missed that, there's more. Do go online and listen to it. And today, I want to claim from this next passage, following on from that and building on top of that, that the church is called to be transformational, incarnational, and inspirational. Could be framed as three questions. Next slide, please. What is the church called to be? Transformational. How does God equip the church incarnationally? And how does the church operate inspirationally? That's what I'm going to pull out from these passages, not in the right order. Our passage makes incredible claims about the church. Incredible claims. That it's going to be equipped for works of service, to build people up and reach confident faith, knowledge of Jesus, maturity. Our next slide. We can have our next slide, yeah? A people attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Fantastic claims. This is transformation. This is what it's about. And this is what we want to see in every church. And I'm sure you do too. But in the public media, we only seem to hear about the failure of the church. And yes, we need to acknowledge that the church isn't perfect. But we don't hear much, do we, about the way that churches transform their communities and those who come. And an example, if we could have our next slide, is friends of mine, John and Helen, are ministering at Farnworth in a poor area of Bolton. So I know that they're involved in their community and transforming their community. And I just thought, let's just pick it down. And this is only an example of what the kind of things that churches and this church, whether through individuals and the way that they act or whether through groups, are doing in the community. That this their Jeremiah advice and guidance helps people to understand and apply for the help that they need that's available for them. Cap money courses, owning people's debt with them, helping them get out of debt. Christians Against Poverty. The Jeremiah Work Club, they have people to help them create CVs, help to do job applications, help to do interviews. They're running an ESOL course, which is to teach English to people who've migrated to the country. The TLG Education Centre is set up to bring people back into education who've been excluded from education, who have been expelled or have educational difficulties. And a food bank, and there's many food banks, isn't there? I mean, wonderful work. Shame that it's necessary. But where churches step into the gap to provide resources for people in need. And then through the gospel, bringing hope, bringing light, bringing salvation, bringing healing, bringing eternal security through the message of Jesus. But it's happening every day, all over the country. So we rejoice, we give thanks for all of the good things that are going on. And it's a great thing to be involved a bit more in the Northwest Baptist Association, to hear stories of what is going on, stories of transformation. And I'm looking forward to hearing more stories of things that are happening here and telling stories of things that we've been up to in Llanelwy as well. But you don't need me to tell you that the church does sometimes fall short of this ideal. We hear of church splits, we hear of contentions, we hear of personal failure, often of church leaders. And when the church falls, the community suffers too. And the capacity for the kingdom of God to advance is restricted. So how do we address that? In the light of this passage. And we're going to look at that later too. But for now, let's set our eyes on what it is that we can be doing. Transformation. Go on, our next slide, please. Thank you. So, Jesus brings people together, places them in support networks who can function together in worship, in learning, and in blessing one another and reaching out. That's the growth of the kingdom of God. How do we make the church transformational? Well, you'll be pleased to know that it doesn't only depend on us. God gives us giftings, both spiritual and practical. If we look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, we see that particularly. Practical and spiritual outworkings and diverse gifts were given. Hospitality, administration, prophecy, preaching, the arts and music, serving the poor. But here, we're told to focus on four particular ministry callings. The Avengers Endgame, third most expensive film ever made, broke box office records across the world by grossing more in 11 days than its previous film did in its entire lifetime. 2.5 billion taken in 11 days. I don't know if they met the costs, but anyway. A film about superheroes with different superpowers, exceptional abilities, who had to put aside their differences, learn to tolerate each other, learn to trust each other, communicate well together, and learn to work together to reach an objective, to reach a goal. And in our text, we see that we have also been given different ministry callings. Not just for church leaders, for everyone. We have to too learn to tolerate one another, learn to trust one another, learn to love one another, learn to communicate to one another, learn to work well together to achieve our objectives too. How? As apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. That's what we're called to do. And perhaps you're thinking, well, I'm not really any of those. Bear with me. Bear with me. The apostle, first instinct is to go. A pioneer. Someone who's thinking outside the box. Thinking about growth. Thinking about vision. Yearns for something more. The prophet, first instinct, wants to hear God's cry. Wants to hear God's heart. Wants to be in God's presence. The evangelist, the one who can't stop talking, the one who can't stop telling people about Jesus, the one who could sell a freezer to an Eskimo, get people on board. The shepherd, desire to care for others, feels the heart of others. The teacher, loves to study, loves to share what they're learning about God. And the answer is that I'm still not any of those. It's not a viable answer. And the reason for that is in the Greek. I don't know why I'm talking about Greek. I have enough trouble learning Welsh. I particularly enjoyed the challenges of the grammar, particularly the mutations for any other learners out there. But I've made a couple of good mistakes along the way. One was when we were organising an event for that our church could help a community group called Women of the Dawn. So that's the Welsh version of the Women's Institute. Fantastic organisation, doing lots of good in the community. Really good, inspiring that generation, particularly. But so, which is Merkur Awar in the Welsh, I believe. Is that correct? Get some nods. Yeah, yeah. So, but unfortunately, in my learning, I was just swapping in. You know, learning how to, well, is it a V? Did you mix a V or a W? What goes where? And I came out with, I was talking to the leader of the group and welcomed Merkur Awar. Which really, really didn't go very well at all, because it sounded like I was saying we welcome the large women. that community connection got off to a great start. But at least, hopefully they'll forgive me for trying. But anyway, it's in the Greek grammar here that we find some hints to help us to understand. Because the word given here is an aorist indicative. For any grammatical fiends out there. Now that describes something that happened in the past, but is a once and for all event that changes and redefines the future. It's like the word hapax when it's used in the book of Hebrews, that redefines the coming of Jesus and the death of Jesus, redefining the future reality of the world. And this is a statement to say that Jesus gave gifts. His gifts were given, and it changed the identity then of the church. It defined part of what the church was and how its DNA would mean it should operate. Kind of creates a mold for how the church works. I remember making bunny rabbit molds, and we need every part of that mold to be filled for it to look like a proper bunny rabbit, you know? And similarly, the church needs every part of those ministry callings fulfilled in order for it to look like the real church. And we can look at examples of those who've gone before. Maybe Aragorn from Lord of the Rings, Paul in the Bible, or Joan of Arc might be apostles. Gandalf, Lord of the Rings, Amos or Jeremiah in the Bible, or Martin Luther perhaps in church history could be our prophets. Pippin from the Lord of the Rings might be our evangelist. Maybe Philip speaking to the Ethiopian in the Bible, or Billy Graham in church history. The shepherd, Samwise Gamgee maybe, from the Lord of the Rings. Ruth in the Bible, Mother Teresa in church history. And the teacher, well, it's got to be Yoda from Star Wars. The Apostle John in the Bible, Martin Luther in church history. And we can read some inspiring stories to inspire us in what we believe is our own calling, to help us to live out that calling too. But if we want an exemplary example of any of these, then we need to look at Jesus. We need to look at Jesus. Because Jesus is our exemplary apostle. In Hebrews 3 verse 1 we read that Jesus is our apostle and our high priest. He was sent into the world, incarnate in our messy world, and he strategically implemented God's salvation plan. Jesus is the exemplary prophet. Brings the Father's will. Obeys it completely, spends time with God, his Father in the hills, away from everybody. And at the same time as bringing God's judgment, he also brings God's salvation. If you read John 3 verse 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20, Jesus simultaneously brings that challenge and brings the solution, judgment and salvation. Jesus is the exemplary evangelist. Anyone, anywhere, knew that they could come to Jesus. Whether they were tax collectors, sinners, fishermen, prostitutes, women who couldn't get out the kitchen, kings and peasants. He talks of leaving the 99 to go after the one. Jesus is the exemplary evangelist. Jesus is the exemplary shepherd, the reconciler, the healer, cares for the sheep, lays down his life for the sheep, creates a whole new community in which he is present, an ecclesia that he directs and cares for. And then in John 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the exemplary teacher. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, described as the greatest moral teaching ever delivered, ever given. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Word of God, the Logos. And there's so much more that could be said about Jesus under each heading. But the way that this is then implemented in the church, we read here, means that the body of Christ may be built up. So Jesus' body can be made up. We can then become the presence and the fullness of Christ as each of these areas are implemented, not perfectly by any of us, but as a collective. Somehow, we can incarnate Jesus. We can look like Jesus. We can operate like Jesus because it's his DNA that is given in this diverse way to us all collectively. And as we serve in these ministries together, then even Jesus can be seen. His kingdom can advance. Jesus' majesty can be seen. His beauty can be seen. His agenda can be seen. That's incarnation. And finally, inspiration. Inspiration. In these verses, we're told that by implementing these fivefold ministries, we will get a healthy balance, a godly balance, as we seek to do each of these things. A godly balance in empowering the Holy Spirit given through us in a way that is sent, in a way that is caring, in a way that is prophetic, in a way that is taught. The Holy Spirit in all of those modes, bringing a fullness. Maturity gives us the breadth to see and understand. Discernment. It says here that we will no longer be tossed back and forth by the waves. I remember we were in the southwest of France, and my son, my youngest son, we've got four, and he wanted to learn to surf alongside his brothers and sisters, who we'd taken down there partly for that purpose. And there he was, battling against the waves. And they were bigger than him, some of these. but he kept going. Bless him. And I'd hurt my back, so I wasn't much able to do the lessons. But I could at least pull his board out and swim his board out for him so that at least he could get out far enough to try and get in. But there he was, blown around by these waves. And sometimes you don't know where the next one's coming from, and you're swept underneath the sea and swirling around. And it can be like that. It can be like that with the next wave of teaching. We have to consider it. We have to weigh it up against the plumb line of Scripture, against the whole of the revelation of Scripture, understood as it was intended and understood as it was given. There's lots of different writings in Scripture. There's doctrine. There's letters written between individuals and others for specific purposes. There's history. There's songs and psalms. There's poetry. And when we take the whole of the revelation of Scripture as the authoritative word of God speaking into our hearts, it's delivered through the different modes, with the different emphases, with the different passions of people coming to it together, to understand it together, then we find the powerful truth of God to form and inform our lives. We see false teaching coming from various different fields. Some comes from within. Christian, so-called Christian leaders abusing their positions of power to take money from people and promising answers in prayer. It used to be called indulgences. Today it's called prosperity. Probably some truth in it, but do take care. Then excesses of monasticism that mean that people would withdraw and make walls and barriers and barbed wire around their churches that no one could come into. Missing the apostolic. I'm missing that heart of God. And then from outside as well, when capitulation to society. That society may change its definition of marriage. The Bible's definition hasn't changed. And in each one of these, the fivefold gifts, the fivefold ministries bring breadth, understanding, bring passion, bring love, bring that whole revelation of Scripture. William Carey was arguing for world mission among the poor. He was told by the theologians of his time, if God wants to save the heathen, he will enlighten them himself. They needed Carey's prophetic heart, his apostolic vision, to take them into fully understanding Scripture for their times. And then we're told that we're going to be speaking in proclamation in confidence, speaking the truth in love. This is so important, particularly for churches that hold on to conservative evangelical views, as ours does. And can we? It's so easy to be labelled along with preachers of hate. And Jesus had nothing to do with hate. Nothing to do with it. So how do we make sure that label couldn't be appropriated to us? And in our house group at Clonoe at the moment, we're looking at how Jesus had a posture of grace. He spoke with a gentleness and a love that meant that anybody, whoever they were, felt that they could approach him, whatever they'd done, whilst holding out the truth that would set people free. The Bible tells us that it is the truth that will set us free. Jesus managed to do that in grace and in love. Built up in love. And this last picture we're given in verse 16, that the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. In love, as each part does its work. And we're going to need grace. It's already been prayed over us this morning. We're going to need grace. And in his grace, God forgives us. But he doesn't just forgive us. He covenant commits to us, knowing that we're going to make mistakes again. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. He knows that we're going to sin again. And he receives us back to him again and again. And you may need to come back to God this morning. He's waiting for you. Come back to him. His arms are open to know his love. But also, we are called as church to manifest that grace to one another. And as the world looks on in bewilderment at this group of people, thinking, how can these people manage to work together? A friend of mine came to a church who wasn't a Christian and was just bemused by the diversity that he saw. That's grace. That's grace. And that's inspiration for the world. Because they're seeing Jesus. They're seeing his love. They're seeing the incarnation of Jesus in the body of the church as it exhibits grace to the glory of God together. That's inspiration. Sacrificially loving one another. Building one another up in faith. Encouraging one another. Supporting one another. Blessing one another. So, teachers, it's time to step up. Mentor others in the church. Shepherds, it's time to step up. Care for others in the church. Evangelists, it's time to step up. Inspire the church. Bring others in. Prophets, it's time to step up. Tell the church what's on God's heart. Pray for the church. Apostles, step up. Show the church what's outside the box. Dream for us as Christ did, apostles. Prophets, pray for us as Christ did. Evangelists, speak for us as Christ did. Shepherds, love us as Christ did. Teachers, enlighten us as Christ did. In humility, in understanding, in deference to the model of Jesus and the authority of his word, built on the foundation of love and of truth. Let's be transformational. Let's be incarnational. And let's be inspirational to the glory of God alone. Amen.